I shared with you that my youngest, Luke, is coming down off the flu, so the larger group of the Hill family didn't make it with me today. Luke's been attending Wednesday night church services there in Corinth with some friends of his, and this particular church that he worships at on Wednesdays, they asked him recently on a questionnaire he was filling out to go on a trip when he became a Christian, if he was a Christian, when he was baptized, if he had been baptized, did he know the date and the place? Could he tell a little about his story? You know, I remember and I reflect upon those questions for Luke. And I've heard some people say, as they try to describe and define when they became a Christian, for some it's a very specific date, maybe even time and place that it impacted their lives. Where, in sharing with that story with other people, they really can't name a time or place or date. When you ask them when they became a Christian, their answer is much like this. Well, you know, I just don't ever remember not being a Christian. I've always had the faith in my life. I've been a part of the church even from my earliest days, and the church has been a part of me. It's reassuring for us to know that there's all different types of journey to the waters of baptism, to the life of faith, to the love of our Lord. This story today in our scripture speaks of the baptism, the beginning of the faith walk in the church in some respect, not just for Jesus, but for many people who have come to those waters of baptism seeking a newness, a cleaning, a restoration in their life. That's what water does for us as people and as those hungry for renewal in life. It symbolizes and says to us that we're new, that we're clean, that we're made whole in the image and through the grace of God. You know, I think back to my beginning days in ministry and as a pastor in wrestling with the understanding of baptism. How some churches believe that you only should be baptized once you've made your profession of faith, while others believe that your faith begins with baptism, even as a small infant and child, and then you're nurtured in the faith to understand and grow and gain more of the glory and the image of God. In our scripture today, Jesus comes to these waters of grace, and there's an interesting exchange between he and John. Jesus says these words, "Let it be so now." Our text describes it here in the NIV version. He says it's right and proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Let it be so, or in the words of the Greek, more clearly, it's defined as this: permit it. Let it happen. Let it come about. That word permit is a word that we're kind of familiar with in our culture, isn't it? Many of us who know something about going on skating trips, as some who are today, you have to have a ticket. Or if you're going on hunting, you have to have a permit to approach someone's land. It's a permission. It's a form of authorization. It's saying you're good to go. Recently in our community, we lost a great ambassador of Tippah County, Judge Kevin Hall. And Kevin Hall, for many of us that knew him and was infected by his life and laughter and legacy, knew that he was what I would call a country smart judge. He wasn't educated highly in the ways of great classical education, but in the ways of the world, he had a wisdom and a richness and a fullness that could not be measured by many. Some of Judge Hall's cases often involve those cases of hunting and permits, and whether a person had the authority and the permission to go where they weren't supposed to go. Judge Hawk had countless stories of humor and recollection of how he settled those cases and offered his country wisdom. On one occasion, Judge Hall, he oftentimes traveled to Nashville, and sometimes he would be backstage at the Grand Ole Opry, and he'd get to witness those performers going, coming, and making impacts upon people. He came back from one trip, and he asked a friend of his if they'd ever heard of or ever met Doris Brooks. The person said, "No, I don't believe I've ever heard of Doris Brooks." And he said, "Well, I hadn't either." He said, "But I tell you what, he sure is famous. Wasn't a woman, Doris Brooks." He said, "Doris Brooks, I went and watched him, and when he came out from performing, all these women were hollering and screaming and going crazy and just wanted to touch his clothes, wanted to put on his cowboy hat." And finally the friend got to the understanding the judge had spoken and met and shook hands not with Doris Brooks, but Garth Brooks on the set of the Grand Ole Opry. He wasn't impressed. Just seemed like a normal person to him, he said. Said he was a nice little fella. See, one of the beauties that made Judge Hall an ambassador of grace and light and love to so many was that he wasn't overly impressed by anybody, and he wasn't under-impressed by anybody as well. In other words, he didn't think too highly of those who seemed to be in some ways more important or bigger, and he didn't think too low of those who seem to be overlooked in the world around us. That's an important call to faith, isn't it? To be able to see each and every person as a child of grace, as a child of baptism, as one who's been made new and renewed through the life and love that only our God can give. And the grace can embrace us. As Judge Hall offered those decisions over those who had the permits to hunt and the privilege to go and come, I think of that word in a new way today as we hear it in our text. See, that's the question. The appeal that Jesus brought to our text. When John didn't know if he was worthy to baptize Jesus, Jesus used this word, permit it. Let it happen. Will you grace me with this gift? Jesus, the Lord of life, is the one asking for it to happen. Will you permit me? You see, it's a reminder to me that if the very creator of our faith went to the waters of baptism with that understanding that it's not so much what we bring to the waters as it is the one that brings the waters to us. You see, we're baptized. We have our faith. We're permitted to enter the house of God, not because of what we've done, because of what God has done. Because of God's grace and love and gift. Jesus said it right and speaks it to us. His appeal to John was to permit me to receive this reconciliation. You see, if we're not careful, as people of faith, we can make our baptism, our profession of faith, something to take pride in, something that we've earned, more about what we've done rather than what God has done. This message reminds me today that the gift of baptism is not so much about what we do as it is what's done to us. You know that Doris Brooks character I spoke of earlier? Some people still call him Garth Brooks, strangely enough. He left that music career back a few years ago because of his yearning to be a daddy. He said, I was traveling all over the world making millions of dollars, but in the pursuit of more fame and more glory, my own children really didn't even know me that well. So he left the limelight. He left the career of the money and music making business to settle back home in Oklahoma. And after years of being away from the road, he was eventually drawn back to the stage to perform in Las Vegas, Nevada. But there was an interesting way that Steve Wynn and his hotel pursued Garth Brooks. He said, we're going to do it on your terms. We're going to let you perform in a way that works for your family and your journey and on your time and space, because we know how important and how precious your gift to your children are. So that's what he did. And on the very first performance, Garth Brooks said to Mr. Wynn, he said, this first performance I'm going to make, it's not going to go to ticket buyers. It's not going to go to those who deserve it. The people I want to perform for are the people you invite. And when Steve Wynn started making out his list of those who would receive that first performance, you know who he invited? He didn't invite the high rollers. He didn't invite those that he owed payback to and who he was indebted to in business and on his journey to climb the ladders of success. No, you know who he invited? He invited his friends, his family, his intimate circle of people. Those are the ones he permitted to receive the gift. See, when we receive gifts, it makes it so much more precious to our journey, doesn't it? It's one thing in life when we receive payment we deserve and we've earned and we've yearned for. But when another child of grace reaches out to us and offers us something we can't earn and delivers us the gift of grace, it impacts us and reminds us how precious we are in their eyes. That was the message, surely, that Garth Brooks offered to the friends and family of Steve Wynn. And friends, as people of grace, may we know that we receive the gift of life and baptism from a holy God, not because of what we do, not because we've climbed the ladders of success of being great and holy people. Not because we've done it all right and made all the right choices. No, in spite of our brokenness, regardless of our failures, God looks to us when He's surveying that invitation list of who He wants to be in the fold. And He says, that's my family. Those are my friends. I invite them to the waters of grace, not because of what they've done, but because of who they are. And most importantly, whose they are. Friends, these are the words that God spoke of Jesus and speaks to each of us at our baptism and claim for life. You are my child. With you, I'm well pleased. I love you, not because of your doings, but because of your beings. Children of the Father. Amen. Friends, as people of the faith, I ask you now to affirm with me and remember with me what we believe about the God that we worship and serve as we affirm our faith together in the saying of the Apostles' Creed. Let's stand together.